I'm really delighted to be here with you today and to share this course with my husband. This is something that we have taught for many years and have always enjoyed doing this very, very much. So we'll start then with another diagram. But before I show you the diagram, I want to tell you a story. Several years ago, when we were in Africa, my husband and I, we had our two boys, and they were 9 and 10 years old. And we were visiting some missionary friends in Kenya. And these missionaries were working with the Maasai tribal group. This is a very distinguished, very colorful group of nomads that are very well studied by anthropologists. I'm sure several of you have heard about them or have read about them. The Maasai life revolves around their cattle, their cows, and they live very close to their cows, and they also drink a lot of the cow's milk, and they also drink the cow's blood. And it's a very different sort of experience for us and our family, and we were very excited about going there to meet with these group of Maasai warriors, actually, is what they're called. And so our friends arranged for us, our missionary friends arranged for us to go and have tea in a Maasai village. And so we got in the car with the children and we went out. And just before we got there, they said, okay, when you get out of the car, you, as an adult, you, Duane and I, my husband and I, you must greet the people, and there will be lots of children that will come and they'll gather around the car and they will present their heads to you. And they will all be bald. They will be shaved. And what you do is you put your hand on their head and then you say a greeting. And so we said, yeah, we can do that. And so then they said to our children, our two boys who are 9 and 10, they said, when you come to an adult, you must present your head to the adult. And so we got there, and all of a sudden the car was surrounded by children, and we got out of the car, and my husband and I are putting our hands on their heads and saying, God bless you, hello, you know, nice to see you. And we were touching the children's heads. Meanwhile, our son Mark, our 9-year-old, was he encountered a Maasai warrior. And the Maasai warrior was standing there with a big stick, and he had two red sheets that were knotted on his shoulder. And he looked at my son, and Mark was very dutiful. He presented his head, and the Maasai warrior spit on him 3 times, and the spittle was running down his cheek. And you can imagine how he felt. Just think about how you would feel if this had happened to you. And so now I'm going to tell you the rest of the story in a minute, but I want to show you the diagram first, and then it will make more sense to you. So I will tell you how the story ends in just a little bit. I want to turn now to this diagram that we have. It's called the Cultural Adjustment Map. And this is a map that has been very, very useful to many, many thousands of people that have gone into other cultures, because it's a map that tells them where they're at in their adjustment to cross-cultural. In fact, we've had people take these maps and put them up on their bathroom mirror when they get into another culture, just to remind themselves every morning, you know, where am I at in my adjustment to this new culture? And so I would recommend that you think about that when you go into another culture, to take it with you. So let's look at this map here. When you enter another culture, you are immediately hit with the facts of life abroad. And you have all kinds of negative feelings that come out of the differences that you encounter. like the spit running down your face. The frustration, the confusion, the tension, the embarrassment, all these negative feelings start welling up inside of you, and you get very, very, it's very upsetting. And the longer you stay, the more differences you encounter. And they're often much deeper differences. So let's stop and think for a minute. What are some of the differences you expect to encounter? We've talked a little bit about that already, but what are some of the bigger differences you expect to encounter when you go into another culture? I know some of you have been in other cultures and you've experienced those differences. What are they? Let's make a list or think about those differences.
I mean, the languages, probably.
Language is a huge one, that's right.
And just try to pronounce some word. And it's funny, in English, when you try to pronounce, you have to be really, your muscles should be really work fine. While in Russian, to better pronunciation, you should lose your mouth. I mean, this is very interesting, just the opposite. In English, you should tend your muscles to pronounce. In Russian, you just lose your mouth, your pronunciation is better. So that's already the culture with the language. But I would say a lot of things, it depends on the culture and how the relationship between them, the family clans and the judgment system, the government, how the corruption is viewed. So people don't used to. Like in Russia, we used to do the good way in America, but we understand what happens in Africa. I can imagine for American come to Africa, some places where there's corruptions, where they're totally different. You cannot go here. You cannot talk with this person. This guy should talk with this person. The law doesn't work, so it's gifts. It's something. I read the book that was written for American who live in Moscow. And it was so funny for Russian to read this book because it says if you come to the market, and you see the nice fruits, it doesn't mean that you bring them home. So they'll put you the different fruits
in the bag, yeah.
So there's so many, I think, things that really hits the people.
And there are scores of differences that you encounter, like you said, the language one. It makes you feel like a two-year-old when you get there because you can't say anything and you can't get your mouth around the words. And it's very... it's very disconcerting, and it's very hard because you feel like a little child again, and that's difficult. And then you get the issues of corruption. Perhaps they do things differently, and you can't always expect to find the same fruit in your basket that you saw on the stand, etc. So, and then these are the things that give you all these terrible feelings. You know, you get so mad because you see these things. Yeah. Larissa.
Well, I would add on the surface, not going deeper into politics or anything, it's food and clothes and the way people relate to each other. Yeah. I mean, the three major areas, in addition to the language, I guess.
So food and clothes are often quite surface things, but then the way people relate to each other gets
a little deeper.
It gets a lot deeper. It gets, then you have to really study and think about what you're doing, and you can't just, they're not just the same as you. And Olga?
I would also add some more differences I noticed. The way they stand in a line at the supermarket. In France, they keep a distance. In Germany, they behave like we here in Russia. So I tried to do what they do. And
how do you behave here in Russia?
We stand rather closely.
Yeah. Okay.
And we Russians usually leave our shoes and boots in the hall when we come to somebody's place. In other countries, I saw the people didn't do it. They didn't take their shoes off.
Yeah. Well, see that there you have it again. They have potential for conflict and offense, don't they? Because if you don't take your shoes off when they're accustomed that you should, or if you don't do the things that they expect you to, you don't greet them the way they should. They tend to feel like they read into what you're thinking, and they think you're arrogant and that.
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah.
So, and there is one other difference that came to my mind. In other countries, they usually don't pay attention how many flowers they give you as a gift. In Russia, if you bring an even number, an even number, it means you have come to the funeral.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's very interesting.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, and so tremendous offense could be given at
absolutely.
That point.
Absolutely. If you give a clock as a gift in China, it means you want the person to die. The sooner the better.
Yeah. So there are so many little things like that that can create all these negative feelings that we have. And then we get angry and we get confused and we get frustrated. And I know I often have found myself thinking, that's so inappropriate. That is so wrong the way they're doing these things. I certainly wouldn't have done it that way. You know, and they must be so, and you've got all these negative, you know, adjectives that you give there. And these feelings tend to grow. And pretty soon you begin doubting yourself. And you begin to think, why did I come here in the first place? What am I doing here? And I will never fit in. I will never. And so all these feelings start tearing around in your being. Now, the thing that we have to remember is that these feelings are normal. It means when you have all these negative feelings, that you have red blood flowing in your veins, that you are a human being, and this is normal for all human beings to feel these negative things. In fact, there was a group in the United States early on when they were just starting to study cultures that were sending groups of young people overseas to work around the world. And so they sent the first group out after they were organized, and they thought, well, we'll train them well. So they trained them very well, sent them out, and when these young people came back, they were reporting all these negative feelings and how badly they felt and how hard it was. And the trainers thought, oh, we didn't do a very good job. And so they tried to do it differently, and they changed some things. They trained the next group of young people, sent them out, and the young people came back after their period of time overseas, and they found that they all felt the same thing. And finally, this group decided, and these were part of the U.S. government, they decided, you can't train people so they don't feel these things. So now what to do? What do we do? How do we train them so that they don't feel these things? Because this is the situation they find themselves in. And the good news about it is that we have discovered is that you have a choice. You can make a choice. When you have all these negative feelings, you can decide, I'm going to do some things differently. And there are two coping strategies. There are two choices you can make. The first choice you can make is you can decide to observe. You can look around. You can look at what they're doing. You look at how they act. And you can observe. And you can listen. Listen to how they relate to each other. And you can inquire. If you don't understand, find somebody that understands the culture and ask and inquire. And that kind of a choice will lead to rapport, to good relationships, to trust relationships and understanding. And you'll understand the culture more and more as you observe and listen. There's another choice you can make, and this is a choice that many of us have made. I'm sure you've experienced this in your overseas experiences. You can criticize, you can rationalize, and you can withdraw. Now, you can criticize and say, oh, it's so stupid the way they do this thing. Or, I don't like this. Why don't they do it the way we do it? Or you can rationalize and say, well, they haven't been as educated as we are, or whatever, and you can talk like that. Or you can just simply withdraw. You can shut up and not say anything. You can just keep to yourself. You can just close down. And those kinds of choices will create alienation and isolation. And before too long, you're going to find yourself isolated, not understanding, people aren't going to be relating to you, etc. Now, I wanted to say something about this withdrawing. Sometimes withdrawing is is an important thing to do. A strategic withdrawal is what we call it. And that is when you feel so overwhelmed by all of these negative feelings. That's when sometimes you need to just pull back a little bit. Go to your own place, put yourself back together, have a good cup of tea, you know, talk to somebody that speaks your same language and just relax a little bit and gather yourself to get back in the culture and start observing, listening, and inquiring. Then there is the ultimate withdrawal. What is the ultimate withdrawal, would you think?
Non-acceptance.
Absolutely. Non-accepting the people at all. That's right. And another way to ultimately withdraw? Go ahead, Vitaly.
You basically, leave the country. Leave
That's
the
right.
place.
Absolutely.
And say, forget it. I'm not going to be here. And
yeah.
Just... I don't want to do anything. I'll go back to whatever I feel better. So. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people that don't understand what's going on when they first come into a culture, they withdraw and withdraw and withdraw, and then ultimately they just turn around and go home and say, I can't do it. We had a friend that was sent by General Motors to Mexico City, and he was a very important engineer. And he was in Mexico City. I think he was only there for about 6 weeks. And he finally told General Motors, I'm sorry, I can't do this. And he turned around and went home. And I think the tragedy of that was he was a very able man, very competent at what he did, engineering cars. But he had never received any preparation. Nobody had told him about all these negative things that he's going to feel and how to cope, what kinds of choices to make when he got in Mexico City. He turned around and came home, and Duane and I felt so terrible about it because we didn't realize that was what had happened to him until afterwards. And he was a good friend, and we could have said, there's a way to do this. You can do this. It's possible. So that's the choice that we have. And when we feel a bad, negative feeling, we can decide to go one way or take the lower road and go the lower way. And all of us have gone the lower road once in a while. But that's the beauty of having that on your mirror or having that in front of you, that map. You can say, where was I today? Did I take the lower road? Okay, then tomorrow I'm going to do differently. And then move on the upper road. Now, let me share what happens. We also have to think about what we bring to the party. What do we bring with us when we come? Because all of us have certain attitudes. Those are essentially attitudes about going overseas. Before we leave, some of us come with, we're open, we're accepting, we're going to love the people, we're going to have a great experience, we're going to build our trust with them. And then we also, there are people that come with fear. I'm afraid, I'm afraid of the corruption, I'm afraid of the traffic, I'm afraid of, and we have a lot of negative fears, or we suspect. We've had an experience or two in our culture with people from this culture, and we're worried about how they're going to treat us, and we're suspicious. Or we are very rigid and inflexible. Now, in the real world, none of us are one or the other. All of us are what we sometimes say are a mixed bag. We all have our desire to be open and accept and trusting. But we also have our fears. And I've noticed that when people go into some third world countries, they love to come home and tell the terrible stories, about how they were hijacked and how they saw this big snake and almost got bitten by it. And these things generate your fears, because then you expect, to be hijacked at every corner, and you expect to see a snake around every bush. So Yeah, we have to be careful about the war stories that we tell when we come back home. But anyway, we are a mixed bag with these kinds of attitudes and stories.
Even a small contribution can make a big difference. Jesus fed over 5,000 people because of a little boy's 5 loaves. Regardless of the amount, your contribution is very important and greatly appreciated. Visit us at www.tvseminary.com.
Stories. So, the fact is then that we come in feeling this way, and we hit these enormous cultural differences, and then we have to decide. We have to have a choice. Okay, I'm feeling negative. How am I? I'm feeling terrible about this. I'm going to observe, and I'm going to take the upper road. And people that tend to take the upper road, it reinforces these feelings. And then they hit these differences again, they take the upper road again, and it becomes a way of life. You more and more, you tend to build more and more rapport and understanding. And some people take the negative road, and they take it much more often. And they take it to the point where that's all they do, is they think negatively, and then they become isolated and closed down. So the issue then for us is you hit this period of confusion and frustration, and maybe yesterday you took the lower road, you know, and you come back and you think, oh, I should have thought about that. And so the next time you choose to take the upper road, and that helps to build rapport and understanding. Any thoughts or questions about this at this point? Anything you want to add, Vitaly?
Just very interested study that I came across, that the biggest number of missionaries who returned home, it was from, I think, Russia or former Soviet Union.
Really?
And they studied, so what happens? Yeah. And really what happens, they find out the reasons. When people come here first time for mission trip, uh-huh. They'll see nice cars. They see some even maybe nice stores right now after perestroika. Mm-hmm. So they feel like it's look like America. Mm-hmm. So they came with this expectation.
Yeah.
When you go to Africa, you see all these different things, and you prepare for what it is. Mm-hmm. And the people stay longer. Here, the people think, okay, I can live here. So this uh-huh. I came for a week. Uh-huh. And then when they start to live here, when they encounter all these problems, uh-huh. They realize it's overwhelming. So this misleading out fear, I mean...
Yeah, the more the people look like you, the higher your expectations are that they are like you.
Yeah,
and then it really hits you when you experience these major cultural differences. You're exactly right. Yeah. Well, let me tell you what happened to our son Mark. Here he is standing there with all the spittle running down his face. And what did he do? What should he have done? He came over, he sidled over to me, and he said, Mom, he said, this man spit on me. And I said, okay, Mark, what should we should find out what this means. So I took a hanky out of my pocket, and we just turned around, and we wiped it off a little bit, and we went on, and we had tea. And later on, we talked to the missionaries, and we said, do you know what happened to him? And they said, oh, yes, that was a blessing. That was a blessing. And do you know that the Maasai, when they have a new baby born into the tribe, all the relatives come and they spit on the baby to bless the baby. And when they're making a business deal, they'll spit in their hand and shake hands. Or they'll rub the spittle on the other person's arms, the way they do that. And it comes from the fact that God blesses them with the rain, and it's a very dry area. And so that blessing is part of God's blessing, and so they want to repeat that blessing. And so look at the difference there, you know, and that was an enormous difference. And I was so proud of our son, Mark, because he was able to just take it. He didn't show any anger or anything. He just came over and he said, "Mom, that man spit on me." And we found out what it meant, and we had a wonderful time. And ever after that, he was very happy to go back and have tea with the mosque.
Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 10-11. How to give to TVS Ministry. You may give online at efca.org/givenow. In the description place, write Russia Distance Learning, account number 24109-0150. Or make checks out to EFCA. Write on the check memo line, Russian Distance Learning, account number 24109-0150. Mail to EFCA Donor Services, 901 East 78th Street, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55420-1300. Or send your gift through PayPal for tvs.gift@gmail.com.